The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Anthony Richardson, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier. Cody, how are you doing, brother?
Doing pretty good. It's Friday. We made it through another week, 33 days from the NFL draft. It's getting closer and closer and closer. We're within a month now. A lot of things are warming up, so I'm ready. I'm happy to continue to talk football. I think that's the big thing here.
We don't ever stop, so yeah, it'll be continuing until I'm in the ground, brother. You wanted to talk today about some way too early predictions and player props, some of this stuff that we have, the markets that we have on DraftKings and FanDuel, starting to come out with some of these division winners, actually some early player props. And look, it's a double-edged sword when we talk about it's a triple-edged sword, really, when talking about player props this early, right? For one, projections right now are bad, right? You're having to project in, you know, wide receiver X for so many points because you're projecting somebody else to come in, but you don't know who that player is who's coming in, what kind of role they're going to be in, stuff like that, right? That's on the kind of negative side about getting this done early. The other thing that's on the negative side about getting this done early, it's the same thing that – you know, the same problem that a lot of people have with playing best ball this early. We like to do it, but you tie up your money for a long time. You know, it's going to be a year before you can have a chance to cash these tickets. On the other side of it, though, I mean, it's just been shown that this far ahead, the markets can't be as efficient as always, right? Because they don't have much like us. It's imperfect information, but it's very imperfect information whenever it's this far out and there are this many variables left. So if we can suss out some things that looks like there's a kind of an edge, that would be good. But more than anything, just, you know, something fun to talk about and something fun to mess around with.
I think that's the big thing too, because, you know, when August comes around and people are talking about this more and more and more, and Byron's out there in Vegas and Byron's like, who are you taking? Who's your division winner? And you know, Trashman gets his Cowboys pick in, and maybe I pick Tampa this year, whatever. Like, right now we're going to get a feel for some of these early teams. And I think that the thing is we're in the center of the draft conversation right now, doing mocks. I just published a mock 5.0 over at rosterwatch.com. And like, you can kind of get a feel for kind of where these teams we've seen 2 weeks of free agency go by. You get a feel for where these teams are targeting, if they're targeting somebody in the draft. And, you know, we see like a Mike Evans, 1,125 receiving yards, things like that. Like, you get a thought into there of, is this even possible? Is this team going to add another receiver? Is this team going to add another running back? And maybe some of these lines that we'll talk about might be inefficient. They might be something we could take advantage of. That's kind of the whole goal here, just to get in early and potentially get a little bit of a, again, like you said, you're tying up your money for a long time, but it's a fun conversation to have anyway.
All right, so let's talk. You brought some of these player props and Mike Evans and stuff. I wanted to look on DraftKings at some of the rushing yards, and just look. I don't have a real take on this. Zach Moss, though, for now in Cincinnati, the over under right now is set at 850.5. Now the under is juiced to -130 on that currently. The over is +105. So, but man. I think more than anything, he played in 13 or 14 games last
14
year?
14 games.
And Taylor was hurt for a lot of that. Got to 800 yards. And I just think this is weird to me for two reasons. One, why is there a market for Zach Moss? You know, what do the books know that we might not know? And as I'm looking at the best ball cheat sheet, I don't have the underdog ADPs pulled up, but I tried to get it to where we were, you know, getting and the best ball cheat sheet now updated to version 1.2 up at the side. I got that up yesterday. I tried to get Zach Moss up to where we were getting him. And some of the, you know, we can't do the simulations like we do for the redraft sheet, but I've just been manually going through and doing these drafts in the big board. And two of my last three drafts, I did get Zach Moss on those teams. So I know where I have him slotted here, basically right kind of right by Chase Brown and Chuba Hubbard and these types of players, maybe a Jaylen Warren or a Blake Corum, this kind of area. If you take Zach Moss in a spot like that, you can get him, but if we just rely on what the markets are telling us here, they have Tony Pollard. They have his over-under set at 800.5 rushing yards. They have DeAndre Swift with the same over-under as Zach Moss next year. And so if you just look at that, I mean, even with us having to adjust for ADP, do you have the actual underdog ADPs up right now, Cody?
I can pull those up.
Because, I mean, even with us getting higher on Moss, it's like he's two running back tiers behind the tier where you can start messing around with trying to get a DeAndre Swift, right? He's two tiers, but there's a tier between them that's got like the Brian Robinsons of the world and the Javonte Williamses of the world and stuff like this. And then the tier that DeAndre Swift is in more that James Conner, Najee Harris, Tyjae Spears, Zamir White pops into that tier a lot now. And then it's in the tier above that even with the Joe Mixons now that he's in Houston, the Ecklers now that he's in Washington, the, you know, I mean, Nick Chubb in Cleveland, who we haven't gotten any real good insight as far as what's going on with his knee, and also knowing that, you know, Deontay Foreman is going to be there next season. Like Tony Pollard is in that kind of tier. So we're talking two tiers up. Like, I mean, I think
more than ADP.
I'm saying here, I don't know whether I'm taking the over or the under on Zach Moss, but his ADP is going to rise if the people's thought process coincides with what these markets are telling us. These markets are generally some of the most efficient ones on earth, as far as these sports books. You know, it's just how it goes. Now they're a lot more efficient on size and totals than they are with these player props and these season long player props, certainly, but these are smart people. These are people who are putting together these lines who know what they're doing. And I think as we come into the period right after the draft, when everybody starts doing their true projections and starts getting the season long stuff going, I think that Zach Moss is probably going to pop in a lot of those models. Do you have a thought on over or under?
If you look at the numbers and you compare them to the ADPs, like you just mentioned a second ago, Tony Pollard is sitting there running back 21 right now. His total is at 800.5 rushing yards. Then you go down all the way to running back 27. So seven spots down, that's DeAndre Swift. And that number is, of course, 850.5. And then you got to go down eight more spots to Zach Moss. So there's a 15 player gap between Tony Pollard at running back 20 and Zach Moss at running back 35.
Can you read out those 15 players?
Pollard's number is at 800.5 rushing yards. Zach Moss is at 850. Before I read out those player numbers, I did want to mention that Chase Brown, the other running back in Cincinnati, is currently running back 33 on underdog, two spots ahead of Zach Moss. So I did think that was kind of interesting. But some of those names that are between Tony Pollard and Zach Moss are James Conner, like you mentioned before, Najee Harris, running back 23, feels like a good value. Nick Chubb in Cleveland, Austin Eckler, Washington, 25. Jaylen Warren, Pittsburgh, DeAndre Swift, Chicago, Raheem Mostert, Miami, Javonte Williams, running back 29. That seems, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that one there. Tyjae Spears, the other running back in Tennessee, running back 30. So Pollard was 21. Spears is 30. Brian Robinson, 31.
Spears is taking a free fall. Golly.
Zamir White, 32. And Chase Brown, 33. Trey Benson, 34. And then Zach Moss rounds that out at running back 35. But like I mentioned, you said over-under. Like, the Moss thing feels high to me. But when you coincide it with Pollard, who is getting drafted right now 14 spots higher, his number is 50 yards lower. So, you know, as like you said, as efficient as some of these lines are on some of these books for totals and, you know, spreads, some of these, like you said, like these guys literally signed last week. Yeah, they might have ran some projections, but this is also, I think, where we can have a little bit of edge
right now, though, Cody. Everyone's
projections are horrible right now.
Yeah.
And like they put in, like, look at the number for Derrick Henry. It's simply just 999.5. Like, because it's Derrick Henry. So they just said 1,000 yards, put it on there.
Well, I mean, that's a smash, right? I mean, if I didn't mind putting my money in.
If he's healthy, there's no reason he doesn't hit that.
Let's look at his game. Like, out of the last 5 years, how many years is he not going over 1,000 if he stayed healthy? Let's see. So, all right. So let's just say dating back to 2018, right? Because that was whenever he started getting the massive volume that would spike near sometimes near the 300 attempts, right?
Yeah.
That was when he went from, So 2016, 110 rushing attempts, 2017, 176. Then in 2018, he gets up to 215. Then the big spike actually came in 2019, where we got up to 303. And then the 2,000-yard season in 2020, where he had 378 attempts. So let's just say in 2018, that was his first 1,000-yard season. That's, when he began to become a lot more featured as the King Henry that we were all hoping that he would become, right? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's gone over that number every single year since 2018, except for 2021, where he got to 937, only playing in 8 games. This is a bet about Derrick Henry getting injured.
Bingo.
I mean, that's all it is. Just go get Derrick Henry. I mean, take the over. Is there juice on the over? Like, hold on.
-130 under, +110 over. So you're getting juice on the
fine.
Over.
I would pay the +110. I mean, that thing should, I think that thing should be set more like a 10.99.5 or something. It's, anyway, that's another one to look at. One other one, just as far as player props, before, because I want to talk about some of your division winners.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is actually on DraftKings, and it is on team specials for the 49ers. And the Brock Purdy to throw for 5,000 plus passing yards is +1,400. It's +1,400. Now, is it going to hit? Probably not, right? Probably not. But what did he throw for last regular season? 4,300?
Did he actually get up to 43? I feel like he's like 36.
I think it was 43. Please correct me if I'm wrong. If that counts postseason, maybe it does. I think it is.
You're right. You're right. 4,280 in 16 games.
What, 4,380 or 4,280?
4,280.
Okay, so sorry. 4,280. But here's the thing. Last year, there was never a time with the 49ers where everybody was healthy until, until the stretch run down the end. Another year of Purdy? And here's the other thing. I'm wondering, so we're putting together our lists of our 30 visits, right? And I've noticed with the 49ers, they're bringing in Malachi Corley. They're bringing in Brendan Rice. So they're looking at receiver, and I don't know. What do you think that means? Brandon Ayuk is – so Brandon Ayuk, they took out the fifth-year option on him. They made that decision last offseason. He's now on his fifth-year option. He's due this year – what, $14.1 million was the number that they got for his fifth-year option number. And the question is whether he's going to play on that, whether he would sit out, whether he's going to need a trade. I'm not sure how much they can pay him whenever, okay, so Purdy – and look, this will come back to Purdy, but this is just about, is he going to have his full complement of weapons? Will he have Ayuk, Kittle, McCaffrey – Samuel, will he have all those guys? Because if he does, I mean, you tell me that he can't get hot and be a, there's not a 1 in 14 chance he can go for 5K. So Purdy can't get paid until his third season because of this, something in this CBA. And I'm not sure exactly why, whether that's was that negotiated on the owner side or on the player side, dude, in some way to protect the players? I don't understand that a team can't touch a contract until after year, until after that year.
Well, it would definitely wouldn't benefit the player to do that. So
yeah, so it's probably something on the owner side, I would guess. But so they have all the money, dude. I mean, how much does, you know, McCaffrey's making, like, what, 11 to 14 per year? They gave Debo Samuel, what? I mean, oh gosh, and don't even mention Bosa, right? They gave Bosa $170 million. They gave, let's see, with McCaffrey, I'm trying to pull the exact numbers here. They got McCaffrey, so $16 million. They paid Debo Samuel after the 2021 season on an average of almost $24 million. They restructured Kittle to get him down around $13 million. They paid Kyle Juszczyk more than you would ever pay a fullback, you know, and they got Purdy coming up. And if you look at just some of the other contracts of dudes who are like Ayuk, Michael Pittman, Calvin Ridley this year, what do those guys make? $22-23 million. What was Ridley?
3 for 86, 84.
Let me just look it up.
I want to say it was.
Yeah,
Ridley. I think it was 3 years, 86 or 84.
And dude, like, we're talking, Ayuk is still 25, 26 years old.
Am I wrong on that? I think I'm way off on that.
Ridley.
I'm way off
four,
on that.
Hold on. A 4-year, $92 million. Gosh. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I mean.
Yeah. There you go.
We're talking big 23 million dollars kind of thing, right? Same thing Pittman got. So if Ayuk wants, is he going to sit out? I'm not sure that they're going to be able to carve off enough money to get him paid.
Doesn't Ayuk feel like he was in the doghouse for a while there early on, right? But that was a couple years ago.
He's way out of it.
Yeah. He's way out of it. Yeah, I get that. But as far as what this team is right now, would behoove this team, just because they had to spend so much money on McCaffrey, they've had to spend money on, you know, these other pieces. They had to pay Debo, Kittle, Bosa, Fred Warner, all these things. He could be the one guy that they're like, man, we just can't give him $20 million. And they do the AJ Brown thing and they trade him. I don't know if they could get quite that. I don't know if they could quite flip him for a 20 or 24 overall pick. Obviously we saw a year ago, Chase Claypool go for the 33rd overall pick. So
they could get it.
I think that was probably one of the worst of all time, but I feel like you could probably get somewhere in that range, and that wouldn't shock me. There was obviously, as Jamie in the chat's bringing up, there was rumors about it. There were rumors that floated, but you can only take those things with a grain of salt. It's just like everything else at this time of year. It's sometimes there's a lot of smoke put out there. Sometimes there's things that are just put out there on purpose to see if anybody bites, and they're like, ooh, you know. And there's, but I do think
you were interested before the Mike.
The model fits.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, anyway, that's the thing about Purdy. Like, I think with the Purdy bet, you're getting 14-1 on for him to go for 5K. I think if they got Ayuk back and they all stay healthy, right? I think that's fine. So that was the other one that I looked at. Oh, one other thing.
Two others.
I know that it's a draft thing, Cody, and then we'll get to yours that you looked at, because you looked at primarily at FanDuel. I don't do much on FanDuel. For one, I don't do any betting on either of these sites because it's not legal in Texas. But I just don't visit FanDuel quite as much because they were cowards back whenever
DraftKings. Before you move on to that, I got some player specials from the same tier you were in.
Whenever DraftKings stood tough and allowed DFS to stay in Texas and FanDuel left. All right.
So you had Purdy at plus 1,400 to go over 5,000. A couple other ones that were in that same tier, Dak, who had 4,400 last year to go over 5,000. He's at plus 1,200, so right in that same ballpark. And then Kirk Cousins down in Atlanta, plus 1,200 to throw for 40 touchdowns. And, of course, Bijan's there getting some rushing touchdowns, but Kirk's going to throw that football. and they are not shorting him with talent in the receiving game. So
I think those two are. What did you think of this one? What did you think of this, that they have Drake London and he's plus 200 to have 1250 plus receiving? That seems wild that it's only plus 250. That's like people are baking it a big year for Drake London.
Wait, where are you seeing this one at?
DraftKings on teams on team specials for the Falcons.
Okay. Drake London to have 1,200 yards. Oh, my gosh.
It's only plus 200. The helium on London's crazy.
I would take it. I think that's it. I think that's not a layup, but I think that's a layup.
It's not a layup. I found just kind of interesting. If you look at the Eagles, Saquon Barkley to score 2+ regular season touchdowns against the Giants at plus 110. He's going to score a touchdown a game versus the Giants, right?
He might score 2 touchdowns a game. I will say that. I mean, come on. That's a good find.
Touchdowns versus Drake. The Giants at plus 275. So,
okay.
And can I just ask you your opinion before you get into that, just about the first running back selected market? Is there any value in this? I know this is not future projections and stuff, but as long as we're here looking at it, if you go to draft specials and go to RB props,
you're gonna have to read all these off to me because in Virginia they don't show me these.
Okay, Jonathan Brooks at plus 225 is the leader. Trey Benson at plus 300 is next. Jalen Wright is plus 350. Blake Corum is plus 400. Then it gets to Marshawn Lloyd is plus 600, and then it gets to much, much, much longer shots. Braylon Allen's plus 1600. Bucky Irvin's plus 2000. Estimates plus 4000. Will Shipley's plus 4,000. So is Ray Davis. So is Isaac Garrido. Then after that, you get to plus 8,000 stuff that will probably never happen. But are any of these guys?
I'd take Wright at plus 350.
That's what immediately popped off to me too.
Yeah, I would dabble in that Wright one at plus 350. He's also the first back I put on my mock today. I think he was the only one I had in the second round. Nobody else in the round 2. Just Wright to the Cowboys.
Whew.
Yeah, I like that.
I like it.
Is there any other drafted props out there for you?
So they have the first defensive player selected, and Dallas Turner just runs away with this thing. Dallas Turner is number 1 at minus 220. Quinyon is at number 2 at plus 350. Hey, I told you about Quinyon at the mock draft show the other day, Cody. He's gonna go quick. Jared Verse plus 700. Terry and Arnold plus 1,000.
Okay. What's Murphy?
Byron Murphy is not listed in this market.
I like Verse. I mean,
oh, yes, he is. I'm sorry. Yes, he is. Plus 2,500.
Oh, my gosh, man. I need to go to West Virginia.
That might be a good little something.
West Virginia, dude. I need to go to West Virginia. Verse is at plus 700. I like that one. Murphy plus 2,500. I don't know. When I do these mocks, like this one took 5 rounds. So it took me literally, I think, start to finish about 28 hours as far as daylight. And I think Dallas Turner is going to be one of the guys that not going to fall, but I just don't think he's going to go as high as. And you kind of brought this up a couple, I don't know, was maybe a month and a half ago. You're like, he's not even close to Will Anderson. I was like, yeah, I don't think any of these guys are. But who did the most during testing? It was Verse. When you line up Verse's numbers next to everybody else, versus him and Myles Garrett are like the only two guys that ran sub 4.6, had 33 plus long inches, arms, did 30 plus bench reps, like just a astronomical stuff from the athleticism standpoint. In this class, really, there's no clear cut Uno on edge, as you know. So like Latu and Verse and Turner, and Verse has kind of grown through the process. And Verse a year ago was looked at as a top 10 pick. And then Murphy, of course, has dominated throughout the entire process. So I think both of those guys are very interesting for a first defensive player. I'm going to take a drive and dabble into those.
I love that Verse. I love the Verse call because all people are doing is saying Atlanta's got to take an edge. And we think it's Dallas Turner, right? I mean, that's what they're saying.
But what if it's not? What if the Chargers, I'm just going to reference my mock because why not? Because I just did the research for it. But what if the Chargers move down and they end up at 7 and a tackle's gone? And we heard the conversations the last couple of weeks about, is Joey Bosa going to be on the roster? Is Khalil Mack going to be on the roster? And now it's kind of cooled down. But these guys are both getting up there in age. What happens if they, you know, add Jared Verse to that rotation? And then they can – it does make Khalil Mack expendable next year. Like, I think that's very interesting. Some things we maybe don't think about as often is, you know, we definitely feel good about them going tackle, and people think they should go receiver, but edge is also a very important position. We're talking about the NFL draft.
Yeah, man. All right, what do you got from over there on Cockamamie FanDuel?
Cockamamie FanDuel. So I made a couple of bets the other night. A couple of my favorite ones here were, I think they're interesting. The Cleveland Browns, when you look at this roster, top to bottom, and I'll just type it in just so I can reference it offhand. But if you look up at this roster and you kind of find out where do they need to fill guys in at the NFL draft with their picks, what do they need to make this team better? The offensive line straight across, if they're healthy, they're a top five offensive line in football. David Njoku is getting paid like a top five tight end in football. The receiving core, they traded for Jerry Jeudy. They gave him a contract. They feel good about it. We know what we think about Elijah Moore. Amari Cooper's still there. He's, you know, still 22 years old, as some would say. Nick Chubb coming off injury. Jerome Ford, Deonta Foreman. They have the depth at the running back position. They got probably the best backup in the league at quarterback in Jameis Winston. It all hinges on Deshaun Watson, right? If Deshaun Watson can bounce back a little bit, I think they're going to be very interesting. And you look at the defensive side of the football, they just continue to add 35-year-old defensive tackles, and they got Myles Garrett. They got Edge. Their defensive backfield is, I would say, top six, top seven in football right now. They're plus 550 to win the AFC North, which is third on the team, which is third in the division, sorry.
Of course it is.
Behind.
They play in the same division as the Ravens and the Bengals.
Again, it should be, but what I'm saying is I think that there's an immense value there because it's plus 110 for the Baltimore Ravens, plus 175 for the Bengals. We haven't seen Joe Burrow only finish the season once, and they of course made it to the end, but same goes for Lamar. Lamar hasn't been able to stay healthy every single year. Joe Burrow hasn't been able to stay healthy every single year. I don't mind the Steelers. The Steelers, I think, are just a little too far away. There's too much there that's moving around, but I think the Browns have one of the better overall depth charts, overall rosters in the league right now. And I think they've navigated it pretty well, and they're kind of staying low key at this current stage. I think plus 550 for the Browns is very interesting for the AFC North. The other one I had was plus 1100. This is a longer shot. This is maybe one of the longest shots you'll find. We talked about the Niners a minute ago doing the thing they're doing, but the Cardinals plus 1100. The Cardinals, the reason I like this one so much at plus 1100 is because the way that the draft is currently situated as far as draft picks go for the Cardinals, if they are able to move down with, and this is all based on this, if they're able to move down from four to, let's What's say, the, 11. What,
can you say why the move down would occur? You don't think that they're just locked in on Marvin Harrison Jr.?
No, I'll get to this. And this is kind of, it's built into the point, but if they can move down from four to 11 with the Vikings and they allow the Vikings to go up and get their quarterback and do whatever, And they'll move back to 11, and they'll also garner in that 23rd overall pick from the Vikings. This would allow them to drop back down to 11 and then bounce right back up potentially to 7 or 8 and get like a Malik Nabers and still get that wide receiver one and not have to, and, you know, maybe not have to, but like not get Marvin. Maybe they prefer. We know there's some teams out there that do prefer Malik over Marvin. Who knows if Arizona is one of them? Who really cares at this point? But this is just a navigational thing. If the Cardinals can navigate this draft like they did last year, they moved down and back up, and they still got Paris Johnson. If Monty Austin Ford could do that again, move down, back up, get a Malik, still have two picks later on, get a Latu, get a Darius Robinson. They have a pick at 35. They got another pick at 66, and then they got a couple of them in round 4 and 5 that if they can navigate this draft how they did last year, how Monty Austin Fort can, plus 1,100 for the Cardinals is very interesting with Kyler now being a year removed from that ACL.
What are the 49ers, like minus 250?
Minus 240. Like they're of course, they're a heavy favorite. This is the point, though. But what do we see every single year, dude? Injuries happen every single year, and I think the turn rate is like 50% as far as making the playoffs one year and missing it the next. And I know, I get it. The Niners are in their element. The Niners are in their peak. The roster is probably arguably the best in football, but injuries happen. And all I'm saying is plus 1,100 for a team that I don't think is one of the worst five teams in football. If Kyler Murray is Kyler Murray, and he should be, right? He should bounce back. I think it's an interesting bet for the Cardinals, plus 1,100 to win that division. And we've seen stupider stuff happen. So
well, hold on.
The Carolina Panthers have better odds to win the NFC South.
But Cody, I just don't understand. If the Carolina Panthers win and get us our plus 11, or if the Arizona Cardinals win and get us our plus 1100 ticket, how are we ever going to cash out our plus 1400 ticket for Brock Purdy to throw more than 5,000 yards?